Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in once again. And last week, we had a great discussion on this terrible thing called doubt. And I wrote a book called I Never Learned to Doubt. And I like the back page. Doubt is a habit. Doubt has roots. Doubt isn't what you think. Mm. I mean, this thing. Whatever you do consistently becomes a habit. Mm. This book, if you'd like to get it, go to jdm.org. You can order it. It will bless you. It's one of my finest books. I mean, this is me.
Right. It's really a companion to what we talked about last week and what we're going to talk about again this week. In addition to that, though, I just was thinking about how there's some great content on the app that you can go and listen to.
Amen.
Because this whole subject is so powerful.
And listen, this is part two. We haven't been wearing these shirts or these blouses for a week. We're taping and everything. So I just want to let you know, Kathy hadn't worn this blouse on this for a week. We're just taping and she gets worried about me wearing the same thing.
I'm not worried.
No worries.
No worries.
But anyway, I felt led of the Lord to do two right away because this is so important.
While it's fresh on your heart.
Yeah. And I want to read the scripture we used last week and I'm going to say it again. And it's Matthew 21. And we start with verse 18. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, and I love this, he hungered. Now, Jesus got hungry. It showed you that he was human. Mm-hmm. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing on it, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow unto thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Mm. When the disciples, verse 20, saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? This is from the lips of Jesus, verse 21. And I'm almost got, what do they call it? A hiccup there, right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard a hiccup from you in a long time.
I know. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and not doubt, and doubt not, in other words, watch this, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. But verse 22 is powerful. And all things, notice it didn't say some things, we don't know. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, now here's the key word, believing, you shall receive. Now that is just, why don't we believe that?
I believe it.
I do too. I totally, the reason I talk about this book, you can ask my daughter Jody, Daddy don't have no doubt at all. Talking about the 100-fold return, oh Lord, do I believe it? Not because it's a lot. It's because Jesus said it. Now, last week, I told you what I wanted to start off with. And I want to start off with doing different definitions of doubt. This is not in the book here. Doubt is a seed that will grow quickly in any soil. It don't have to even be, it can be nasty soil. It's like a weed. You ever notice all the good grass is dying and there's that weed just as green as it can be? No water, no nothing. Because it's robbed all the nutrients from the good grass. See, Satan, this doubt, and I said it last week, it's a thief. It's constantly withdrawing from you and never putting what God wants in you. So doubt is a seed that will grow quickly in any soil. And then I got to say this, it disguises itself and comes camouflaged as concern. You ever hear that? Don't tell nobody, but you know, brother so-and-so. See? Doubt, it's terrible the way it is, disguises itself, but it becomes camouflaged as concern. It's not. It will choke out the good things in your life. And you don't want that to happen. So doubt not. Now we thought, and I could go over real quick if you watching again, we started out that doubt was the first step of mankind's position. I said doubt started as a suggestion and led to an expulsion. I said, doubt is never an answer. It's always a question. Hath God said, what Satan said to Eve. Doubt says you can't. Faith says you can. Watch this. Doubt never opens your eyes. It's a blindfold. One mistake, people will tag you, and that was doubting Thomas. Yet that man did so many powerful things. I told you children are born believers until you teach them to doubt. So don't do that. I didn't say much on this because I was running out of time last week. Doubting what God says is satanic pollution. Hmm. See, Kathy refused to be polluted when they told her he will never get saved, talking about me. She was believing me for to be born again. She refused to be polluted. Then I said, doubt is a seed that will grow quickly in any soil, that's this week, and doubt disguises itself. It often comes camouflaged as concern. Now, I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. Doubt is Satan's greatest weapon. Mm-hmm. So de-weaponize him. How do you do that? The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. You got to understand, you have an armor that you can wear all through your life here. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, mm-hmm. the shield of faith.
Right.
Your loins girded about with truth.
Right.
Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My God. Mm-hmm. The sword of the Spirit is really not in your hand. It's in your mouth. Say and believe, and it's amazing what God will do. And doubt will be extinguished. Doubt is a fire that burns brightly. I'm going to give you another definition. I just got that. But faith is an extinguisher that will put it out.
I love that.
Write that down, Chrissy. I like it. I've never said that before in my life. Doubt, you know, it burns. It is a very terrible fire. But faith is an extinguisher that just takes it out. You notice that. So we're giving you different definitions of doubt. And when you understand that, it couldn't be done in one boardroom chat. Because doubt is covering all the earth in a lot of different areas. But not at JDM. And I mean that privately. We refuse to have it. We take away that dark cloud. And we like the blue skies of life. And that's what faith produces.
I love that. Faith is an extinguisher that will put out the fire of doubt.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I'm rewording it, but
yeah,
that is
but that's what it's true, because the doubt, it burns so brightly, you know, but an extinguisher will not.
And I was just thinking about how, you know, just dependent, you have to know the type of fire.
Sure.
Not every fire can be put out the same way. Some fires, if you put water on it, you mess it up. Like if there's a fuel fire, I remember, like.
Explosion.
Explosion, or you have to have.
You know why it goes out? It sucks the oxygen out, and it can't burn. You know, on a well, they have people that do that. That's some dangerous work. Mm. When you have an oil fire in a well.
In an oil well.
Woo! Son, that's dangerous stuff. And you'll see them. They use nitrogen and all kinds of, I don't know exactly all the stuff. Woo! It shuts it out.
And then, but people who are firemen are experts at knowing what to do on whatever types of fire. So we need to become an expert on what the Word says about what Satan has done, or any doubt that might be thrown in our across our path. So prepare yourself. Study the Word of God. I remember when I first got born again, I didn't have the beautiful tools we have today, like the apps and all these references. I didn't have even a Bible concordance. I think all I had was a concordance in the back of the Bible that I had.
Right.
So I remember I would search out and find scriptures about salvation for your family or different things. And I had a little spiral notebook that I put tabs on. And because I was wanting to know, I knew so little. I had never read the Bible. So I wanted to learn about it. And so what I was doing was basically being prepared. So that for what I was believing for, I was putting the Word of God in. And so whenever the enemy would give words of doubt, I'd be able to go to what the Word has said, what I'd already studied, what I'd already put in my heart. You know, it's the same way like that. Like at our house, we have fire extinguishers in different portions of the house. We have that here at the ministry, at the church. There's fire extinguishers that we have to place in different parts to be prepared. So if something, a fire breaks out, you know where to go so you could put it out. So in the same way, when doubt tries to invade your mind or your heart, you have to know where the Word of God says so that you could not speak it, instead speak the Word of God. Use your faith voice. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I love it. See, what you're saying is that, and this is another definition, doubt leads to confusion. And confusion leads to an increase of satanic power. See, Kathy started searching scriptures to increase her faith. And notice it, and it did, and got me born again. Where everybody was telling her that I would never get saved, that was confusion, because they were talking in doubt. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I was already prepared before that, because when the problem came up, I had already had the answer.
Yeah.
And whenever the doubt threw raised up. I already had the solution.
And you know, and if you don't think Satan was smart, if you want to call him smart, every time she talked to me about God, I'd do something that would just try to make her mad or say, that ain't going to never happen and all that kind of stuff. But yet that faith force that was in her, that Holy Ghost power, I tried everything in my natural intellect before I was born again to try to come against that, but I couldn't. And you know why I couldn't win? Because I was confused. I didn't know I was confused, but doubt was making me confused, which is the point. See, doubt leads to confusion, and confusion leads to an increase of satanic power. And here's something else. Doubt always comes out of the five senses. Mm. Always. Because doubt is flesh. So don't do that. For example, if you have a fire on your stove, you don't have to touch it to know it's hot. Well, I don't think it's as hot as it looks. Put your hand on it, it's going to burn your hand, see? That's a very confused person in a confused state to do something stupid. And how many times you tell a baby, don't touch that. And because they don't know what it is, you see? And sometimes they, and without looking, they'll tell, once they get a little burn on, they never touch it again. So you don't have to have pain to learn something. What you have to do is just obey. Sure. Love makes obedience easy. So when you see that, and I like that, doubt leads to confusion. Confusion leads to an increase of satanic power. And doubt comes out of the five senses. So senses. So I don't do that. Here's another one, Kathy. Jump in here if you want. Doubt tempts you to fill your mouth with accusations that destroy your manifestations. That's a good definition. Doubt. I love it.
Say that again.
Doubt tempts you to fill your mouth with accusations. Why? Because Satan is an accuser of the brethren. That destroys your manifestations. You believe in God, you believe in this. Let me show you how powerful this is. Let's say you don't know this person. You may have never seen them. All of a sudden, they come into your presence, and someone comes up and says, you know what that guy did? He did this 50 years ago. They inject the doubt thought, and you kind of do this to that person. You have not given that person any chance to show you who they are. You see what I'm saying? That's what that means. It tempts you to fill your mind with accusation that destroys your manifestation. That might be the best person you ever met in your life. But because somebody said something bad about it, you automatically think it's true. Hmm. That's what doubt does. Hmm. Now, that's a sad thing.
Right.
Some of you have probably been told, because I preach faith and prosperity, don't get around that boy. But yet, if you just knew me, because you see, all I do is preach the Bible. They say it's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. It's completely all over the Bible. You're going to the most prosperous place in the universe. That's called heaven. And yet God said his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's wrong with that? Well, it produces greed. Doesn't produce greed with me. None. I love being a blessing. I love being blessed so I can be a blessing. I even preached a sermon one time and a man got so mad at me. Oh, man, he fought me for years. I preached on blessing the blessed. Oh, he was so mad. Well, you don't give to the poor. I give to the poor all the time. That's not the issue.
And you said that two or three times in that same sermon.
That's correct.
This doesn't mean that we don't give to the poor. We do that too. But you were talking about the principle
of the seed of good soil.
Yes, of giving, yes. Like Abraham blessed Melchizedek.
That's correct. Melchizedek didn't need a thing.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? Oh, he just got mad. And finally, he finally repented of it right before he died. And it's sad to say that, but this is kind of a funny definition. Doubt is a trick. It's never a treat. Trick or treat. Trick or treat. Trick or treat. I'd rather have the treat than the trick. You got it? So when you see that, so I refuse when people begin to tell me about this and that. I say, you're talking about somebody I don't know. You're putting something in my mind to make me doubt that person. That's what they're trying to do. And I'm not going to allow that in my life. And that's what I mean. That becomes a trick instead of a treat. Hmm. And doubt never lifts you up. it always brings you down. You see, people in doubt, they're down.
They are.
They're down and out, man, for the count, like you say. It never lifts you up. Faith will lift you up to a high level you never thought possible. Pass all the doubters. Mm-hmm. That's why I never learned to doubt.
Yeah.
You know, and I, when we've, and you know, Kathy never read the Bible until she got born again. My mama would read the Bible to us, which I didn't believe, but you know, but when Kathy read the Bible, she took it at face value. She read it in faith, through faith, by faith. And immediately, all that was in that Bible, she said, I can do that. And the first thing she did was me.
You're my first faith project.
Yes, to get me born again.
I didn't doubt. Although I had moments where I thought, you know, I was frustrated because it took a little longer than I had hoped. And I had a lot of challenges along the way. I mean, I would invite you to church and it wasn't always a good experience.
Well, you said your answer why. Took a little longer than I hoped. Well, hope is a blueprint, but faith builds the house.
And you know, I was on a journey, and you can't give up just because of the time factor.
Right.
What is it you always say about the time factor? You say something about time with faith. Sometimes it's not an abundance of unbelief. Sometimes they just
Time.
Defeated by time.
Satan uses the tool time. If he can delay it, he'll make you believe it won't work. Mm. Time is one of his biggest, because time is full of doubt. See, it ain't working.
Well,
it ain't working. It ain't working.
That doesn't mean it's not working. There's some things that have to happen that God was working on Jesse. It wasn't visible to me. And there were other situations around. There was a moment. I mean, I just did what I need to do. I continued to pray, hold fast. And this happens as well when it, even in financial things that we were believing for.
You want a great example?
Okay.
Kathy gets so mad at me when she makes a gumbo. Now, that's a lot of work. But I mean, I begin to smell the sausage, and I come walking around, and she goes, get.
Like,
I'm trying to do all it, but I want to take a little piece of sausage, and I have to reach around and grab it. Get.
It's not ready.
Finally,
once it tastes it before it's ready,
yes,
it's not ready.
It's not
There's
ready.
A process.
Finally, she'll call me. She'll go, hey, come taste this. I don't say this. I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it. No, I rush over there. And she goes like that, well, does it need anything? No.
Sometimes
I say, can
I add
a little more
salt?
Salt or pepper or whatever. You know, I don't know all the ingredients.
Spice.
And I know it's a faith gumbo because she uses the Trinity. We call it the Holy Trinity.
That's the Cajun thing.
What is it, Mom?
What's the Trinity? Is onions, bell pepper, and celery.
Yeah, and we put that in there. She uses the Holy
Trinity.
So
Trinity,
you know that's going to be
Cajun
a good gumbo.
Recipes.
See, so when you understand that, see, doubt is always a trick and it's never a treat. And doubt never lifts you up; it always brings you down. Here's one, buddy. Doubt has no face, but it'll try to steal yours.
Wow.
That's not in here. I think I put that one in here because it was so good. Doubt has no face, but it'll try to steal yours. It's an identity thief.
Mm.
If you look at yourself and don't recognize who you see, doubting who you are in Christ has likely become your habit.
Mm.
See, when you look at yourself, you should not be able to recognize yourself. You should see Christ, the hope of glory, living inside of you.
Mm.
So let me say it again. Doubt has no face, but it'll try to steal yours. It's an identity thief.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised how many educated people that love the gospel, great preachers, their face has been stolen mm-hmm. when it comes to certain things in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, healing not for today. Yes, it is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. A prosperity message, not a prosperity message, it's a Bible message. I stole your face. Your identity just got stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good.
You got to know who you are in Jesus, what he
That's
said
it.
About you. And you know, it's human nature to not want to believe something so good. Can you really be like that? But he sees you. You have to look at yourself through the Father's eyes, how he really sees you,
rather
than how you see yourself.
Kathy likes to look good. She wears nice clothes, and I don't have a problem with that. But and she has all kinds of different kinds of clothes. But to me, the prettiest thing a woman can put on is a beautiful dress. Now, I've seen some very expensive suits that women wear, beautiful. I mean, but there's nothing like a lady in a beautiful dress. There used to be a TV series, and they wore the prettiest dress. It was Dynasty. Is that the name of that? Who Shot J.R.? Something like that. I don't know much about it.
You're going way back.
Way back. but them ladies would wear the most beautiful dresses.
The best TV was Loretta Young. It was when I grew up. Mama had that on the TV. She would come up and introduce her program.
She'd twirl.
She'd have this beautiful
dress. And that dress is beautiful. And it is. And you know, if you ever watch Gone with the Wind,
that's old.
That Scarlett O'Hara wore some beautiful dresses. You know, and it's just amazing how that happens, you see. We were talking about that. And I'll forget one time, and I got a picture of Kathy in this. I don't know where we bought that dress. It was full of pearls. It had pearls from the top to the bottom. And Jerry Savelle, who was one of my first, what was Jerry's last name? Jerry
Evans.
Evans was on my board of directors. And he told Kathy, we were going somewhere, and she wore that dress. He said, "That's the most beautiful dress I have ever seen." I said, "I got to agree with you.
It's hard to sit on. Those pearls were hard to sit on.
But that thing was beautiful.
It was beautiful. I remember giving it away to some young girl once.
One time she had a beautiful dress. It was so pretty, the colors on it, that a person that if I named that person, you would know that person, was cutting an album.
A
gospel album. And a phenomenal singer. And Kathy, she said, "Well, Kathy, can I borrow you? I just like to take my picture for the album cover in that dress." And I think you gave it to her.
Yeah, I did.
You did? It was such a beautiful thing. Well, you know, beauty is eye-catching. Doubt is not. Mm. Faith is very eye-catching, but doubt is not. See, when you entertain your doubt, you multiply your doubt. And it subtracts results in your life.
That's good.
Let me say it again. Entertaining doubt just multiplies your doubt. Mm. It adds confusion and subtracts results that you could have had.
And that's the opposite of faith, because as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're continually hearing the Word of God, you're going to be building faith in your life. Same thing is true. If you're hearing words of doubt, you're going to be adding to that. You're going to have more doubt and more doubt. Instead of listening to people who say what you can't do, listen to what the Word of God says about what you can do. Listen to more boardroom chats or more of our programming.
Get the word that's
although
it.
If we have 500 over 500 different messages, and all of them are faith building on our app, and that's a free app, and it's always available to you. And we love getting your stories about how your life has been transformed because your eyes have been opened to the truth.
Amen.
And you're starting to live by faith.
And let me say that I want to thank my wonderful partners who do not doubt this ministry, who have been supporting us, one of them here on the testimony for 30 years.
Yes.
That don't miss. I'd like you to be a partner of the Jesse the Planet's Ministries. None of it goes to me. I'm telling you, none. 100% goes into world evangelism. We're so totally debt-free, been debt-free since 1982. We read a scripture called Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love him." So we accepted that. And we've asked the Lord for every dollar given to our ministry to give us a soul into the kingdom. And we're constantly doing projects. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, people ask me all the time, "When are you going to retire?" I don't have time to retire. God keeps giving me things to do. Right now, we got two projects that's going to take $20 million to do it. We believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's $20 million. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you, if you're one of those $1,000 givers, to do that. So, well, I've never done that before. Okay, but, and I can't. I can't afford that. Okay, but one day you will. One day God will honor you. See, I'm speaking faith to you. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You may not even give it to this mission. You might give it to someone else's mission. That's okay. You just got to learn to be a giver.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, we are building things and doing things. We are working 24/7. 20,000 people giving $1,000. And it'll two projects, it's gone. If I got it today, it would be gone. Designated within a week, gone. You see, now the Lord also shocked me, and I had to have faith to believe this. He said, "You got a $20 million chunk giver coming." I went, "Whoa, geez, wait a minute." And first, I asked a kind of a dumb question. I said, "Well, Lord, if the 20,000 people give $1,000, what I need the $20 million chunk giver for?"
Right.
He said, "Replenish." That's Genesis 1. Be fruitful, always producing, multiply, always increasing. Replenish, fill it, then refill it. And then he said, "Subdue. If anything gets out of line, put it down." Then I realized something. as soon as I finish this, he got something else for me to do, me and you to do.
Yeah.
And so that's coming. And you may be that $20 million
And the provision will be there before the project comes.
Everything
that's
we've
another
ever done,
level of believing.
Everything has been done debt-free.
Amen.
And we believe that kind of. We want you to be debt-free. We have the debt-free anointing on us. I have the anointing of increase. The hundredfold anointing is on me. Get me on your side. Listen to me. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get something to you.
Amen.
I'm very passionate about that. To be a giver or to be a partner, go to jdm.org. That's our website. And hit the donate button if you like. You can use PayPal if you want. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. I believe that's in the United States only. Or you can go to our JDM free app. Notice I said free. Select the giving you want and it'll come to pass. Or you can use the post office, whatever you want, and mail it in and it will be a blessing to you. Let me tell you something. I have no doubt in my mind that you're going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this ministry is such a wonderful song. And none of it comes to me. Now, don't let time defeat you on it. My God said, I gave, I shall receive. Nothing too small, nothing too big.
Amen.
But every year I think of increasing my giving. And we do it all the time. Kathy's the pastor of Covenant Church. She started out giving a certain amount. She went so past that. Now she's giving more. And that's fine because we believe in this and God blesses us. I'll give you an example. We just celebrated our 56th wedding anniversary. Me and Kathy went downtown to my favorite restaurant. I don't know if it's yours, but it's my
yes.
Mr. B's and because we got some wonderful restaurants. We finished eating and I said, give me the bill, you know. And the waiter, who I know real well, he said, it's already paid for. I said, what do you mean it's already paid for? Someone called in and paid for the meal. I could have paid for the meal. Now, that was amazing to me and Kathy. And the Lord said, I just wanted to bless you and Kathy. And I wanted to bless the person that did that. Just that quick. It will happen to you too. There's no other choice. I mean, God don't love me anymore than he loves you. You see? But I have no doubt concerning his word. And that's my book. I never learned to doubt.
The subtitle is Lessons I've Learned About the Dangers of Doubt and the Freedom of Faith.
Yeah.
It's a great subtitle. You never learned. It says, I never learned to doubt. That's your picture on the front.
Now, I want to go over this. I only got a couple of minutes, Kathy. We started out with that doubt is a seed that will grow quickly in any soil. And I said, then we said, doubt comes out of the five senses. Doubt leads to confusion, and confusion leads to an increased satanic power. Doubt is a trick and not a treat. Doubt never lifts you up. It always brings you down. You really like this one. Doubt has no face, but it'll try to steal yours. It's an identity thief.
Mm.
Here's one I didn't tell you. Doubt brings hesitation. In pausing, God's best for your life often becomes an unseen option and a missed opportunity.
Say that again. I can't.
Doubt brings hesitation in pausing. It will make you pause.
Mm.
God's best for your life often becomes an unseen option and a missed opportunity because you let doubt pause you.
Yeah. Missed opportunities.
Now, right. I have said this in this book. And it's probably my best. To doubt God is to mock God.
Mm.
Doubt is a form of pride. I wanted to end that with that. It's a form of pride. He's saying God can't handle your business, so you got to take it back. That's a form of pride. And, you know, these are some of the things, you know, we didn't put, but I did put that in the book. And I say it all the time, doubt is a form of pride. And I could have got on the faith part, but here's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is about humility, loyalty, and honoring God for who he is. But a believer who consistently doubts God's authority, word and power is revealing a side of himself that is fickle, self-centered, and prideful. Doubt is a form of pride. Here's one. Doubting God begins with a question and inevitably ends with a mockery of who God is and what God can do.
Right.
All doubt does is multiply fear.
Jesse, before we end today,
yeah.
I thought of a verse of scripture that I thought would
okay.
be great to
Good.
End with because a lot of people... I don't want you to get under condemnation
no.
that maybe you've doubted in the past. I mean, there are moments where I've, Jesse says he's never learned to doubt. I can honestly say there are times where I doubted, is this going to really happen? And I had to overcome that. And this reminds me of a verse of scripture in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where this father had brought his child to the disciples while Jesus was actually on the Mount of Transfiguration with James, Peter, and John.
Peter, James, and John.
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Anyway, but when he came down, he had tried the other, was how many of us left after three? Anyway, the rest of them were there down at the bottom trying, and the father brought them to those disciples, and they could not, but they could have because he had already given them all power. But the father says, I brought my son to your sons, to your disciples, but they could not cast him out. The devil out of the son. So the father says in verse, Jesus told the father in verse 20, first of all, he says, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. Verse 23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And that was what I wanted to,
Jesus. That was his doubt.
So Jesus saw the people came around, but he delivered the boy. But Jesus helped him.
Yes,
so Jesus is not going to be condemning you maybe because of past failures. He wants to help you. And the way that he helps you is to give you his word, to give you his promise, and to help you to see those things fulfilled.
In other words, let me tell you something. You're going to get it.
Yes.
So don't feel condemned. Man, just keep going until you get it.
That's right.
I used to always wanted to be 18. And I wish I could be 18 again. I mean, it took me like 40 years to become 18. And it took me maybe 5 years to become 70. It seemed like, wham, time goes.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed today. Because we did 2 weeks of this, because so vitally important. I want to pray for you right now before we go off. Father, in Jesus' name, take every word we spoke.
Yes, Lord.
And glaze it with faith, every bit of it, and take doubt out of every people's minds, everything, so they can receive what you said. Father, I thank you for, and you said if two of us agree on earth is touching anything, I'm touching Kathy's hand, but we also touching our partners that support this ministry and everyone else that's watching right now.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and let them learn that never to learn how to doubt, and if they did, to forget it.
Yes.
And walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
I thank you for it, Lord. I believe you for it, that everyone that's hearing my prayer today, for them, will receive what they're believing for. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Once again, partners, thank you for supporting us. You've been such a blessing. Nothing too small and nothing too big. Jesse and Kathy saying we love you. We'll see you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye. Sure.